At rush hour, most suburbs in Northern Virginia sound like this. But in Reston, there's a whole different vibe. Here, on the plaza by Lake Ann, neighbors gather and wander to nearby cafes or restaurants, savoring views of the autumn leaves, the water, and wildlife. This is one of seven connected villages planned by a visionary real estate man named Robert E. Simon. His initials, R.E.S., were the basis for the name Reston, where filmmaker Rebecca Wingert-Jabby grew up.
I had friends throughout my neighborhood. I knew all of my neighbors, actually. I could step out and be in nature right outside of my house. I could walk down to a village center and meet people along the pathway walking down there. So it was a really good childhood.
When she turned 13, her family moved from their Reston townhouse to a single-family home in another suburb. It was the American dream. But from then on, Wingert-Jabby was a woman in search of community.
I traveled around the world. I spent time in Jerusalem and Beijing and Shanghai. Even though I was in these great, vibrant urban centers, I still felt something missing. I still felt a pull back to Reston.
And no wonder. Its founder, Bob Simon, was a man in love with both nature and people.
At one extreme, you have the hermit, and he gets his kicks out of solitude. I'm anti-hermit. I get my kicks out of people.
Good morning.
Good morning. Children, relatives, neighbors, that's where you get happiness.
So in 1964, on land between Washington, D.C. and the new Dulles Airport, he created an alternative to suburban sprawl, building houses close together while saving one-seventh of the land for walking trails, woods, and water. Inspired by post-college travels in Europe, he turned his back on traditional zoning that separated homes, shops, and offices.
The Italian hill town were my great inspiration. Very dense little villages surrounding a plaza. That's the way you do it when you want to bring people close together.
He also decreed that his new villages would welcome people of all colors and faiths. At a time when segregation was still the norm in Virginia, no bank would lend money for such a project. So Simon persuaded Gulf Oil, which had plenty of cash, to invest. Some people in the documentary loved the concept, packing their bags and moving to Reston.
Everybody I knew said, "Why are you moving to Virginia? Aren't you far enough south in D.C.?"
Growing up in D.C. as I did, I never went across the bridge. Wasn't a good idea. You could get hurt.
Reston felt different. It was that bucolic, safe, wonderful place. It was totally integrated.
I actually gave up a house and moved into an apartment to come to Reston. We moved, I unpacked, and I could walk down to Lake Ann, and the kids would play. It was a place to go and meet other people. There's a wonderful spirit, wonderful.
Others were drawn to Reston's swimming pool, golf course, community center, tennis courts, and cultural activities.
There was always something happening on the plaza. The choral group, the players, the dancers. I didn't sleep a lot when I first moved here because it was just, I might miss seeing something.
In short, Reston combined the best of city and country life. What's more, it was a fertile place for feminism to take root. Jane Wilhelm, former director of community relations at Reston, says Bob Simon insisted on a new choice in child care.
He said, "Something needs to be done about the woman problem." And I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Women have to do too much at home." And he said, "They need to be freer. And so I want a full system of daycare." His dream of Reston had been fully realized the day that opened.
But not everyone shared Simon's vision. Chuck Veach was a salesman for Reston. William Conklin was the chief architect and planner.
We were making social breakthroughs, architectural breakthroughs, and we were talking about a new way of living. And those were things that only appealed to people that got it.
We got liberal, European-oriented people. And not at all. The locals didn't walk into the place. They thought it was crazy.
Which meant that sales at first were sluggish. And in 1968, Gulf demanded full control of the property. Bob Simon was fired. Early residents Beverly Cosham and Joe Stowers were shocked.
When the community found out about it, all hell broke loose.
At first I thought, how could they fire him? He is rested.
The new managers kept Simon's basic concept in place, but built lots of townhomes and apartments, offering special deals to newcomers, and they advertised.
Today, a new family is moving into a neighborhood of beautiful homes, golf courses, tennis courts, and over 400 acres of lakes, parks, and open space. A suburban neighborhood that Ladies Home Journal has called the best in Washington. If your family is looking for a nice place to live, this place probably sounds like heaven. It's not. It's Reston.
In 1969, the developer exceeded its goal, bringing in over 1,000 new families. Today, the community's thriving. Money magazine ranked it number 7 on a list of the best places to live in America. But documentary maker Rebecca Wingert-Jabby says its future is in some doubt.
Reston is 50 years old now. There's a lot that is being redeveloped. It's a very attractive place to live. We also have the Metro Rail that came into Reston in 2014. So what we're seeing with that is an increase in housing prices.
Still, residents remain committed to a multicultural community where wealthy people can live side by side with working class families. Bob Simon, who moved away after he was sacked, returned 20 years later to live out his life in Reston. He died there this year at the age of 101. I'm Sandy Houseman.